In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? Well, good evening. And happy Thanksgiving Eve. As I was listening to the reading from Deuteronomy, it occurred to me that if I were telling the story of my family when I brought my first fruits to the temple, if I were laying down my basket with my offering at the feet of God, that I might be able to make the claim and tell the story, not that a wandering Aramaean was my ancestor, but one that goes a little like this. A wandering Lithuanian was my ancestor. She went down from Lithuania into Switzerland during the Second World War and lived there as an alien, few in number. And there she and her husband had children and became populous. When this became harsh and afflicting, and when the hard labor came upon them, they cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, our oppression. The Lord saw that we could not go back to our home. And the Lord brought us out from Switzerland with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place, the United States of America, and gave us $10 on Ellis Island, in this land flowing with milk and honey. So that woman who was my grandmother would take that $10 and she would take the four languages that she spoke, none of which was English. She would take her master's training in nursing, which she couldn't apply anywhere because she didn't speak the language. And she would raise the three children that she had to tend by herself because her husband left her for another woman that he had met on the boat. And she lived on the south side of a city called Chicago, and she raised those three children in a neighborhood full of Lithuanians who had left their home and been brought into a new one. But over time, she prospered, and she learned the language. She learned it from reading magazines in the break room of the Campbell's Soup Factory, where she was able to find work. She sent her three children to Catholic schools, where they would wear the same uniform every day, because it was the only nice set of clothes they had. But where everyone else was wearing those clothes too, they were equal. And she taught her children to take care of one of them to another and would come home and tell them how important it was that they do that because she had to work all day and then eventually took on a second job once she was able to find work again as a nurse. And over the next 50 or 60 years, she lived and built herself up and built up her children and fought hard for their education and their opportunities. And when she died, she owned three properties. And she left each of them a healthy inheritance that they could use to build up their own families. Blessings are strange things. And giving thanks is a process that can stretch very far back if we let it. I think the blessings have beginnings, and if you were to go into a lot of the shops of the Lithuanian immigrants who came to this country during the Second World War, and if you were to go into the shops of immigrants today, or even just small business owners who have decided to start something for themselves, often behind the cash register, somewhere on the wall, you might see a dollar bill taped up, or maybe a $10 bill taped up, or a check, or a notice of a loan from a bank, or something. But it's going to be, if it's taped there, it's the first dollar that they made in business, or the first $10, or sometimes perhaps that $10 from Ellis Island when they got off the boat and were given something to start out with. And people leave it up there for a number of reasons. That tradition has sort of become a tradition, and I think sometimes people do it just because it's tradition to put up your first earnings there on the wall to be visible, to be displayed. But I think for some people it's a sign, a reminder to be ambitious and kind of take what you have and increase it. And I think for some people it's a reminder that what we have now started somewhere. What we have now had a beginning, and it's usually a beginning that was a lot humbler than what we've come into. That's true of this country. It's true of this neighborhood. It's true of this church. In the last year, we've seen the blessings of our physical space increase. We've seen the blessings of our membership increase. And we've said goodbye to some dear friends, people who have died and people who have left to go and be Christians in other places, in other communities, and to take the love they've known and received here and make it a blessing that will continue to be in the world in a different place. When the people came to Jesus, they came because he'd given them bread. They came because he'd caused the loaves to multiply and everyone had, for one moment, enough to eat. Not only enough to eat, but enough left over that it could be gathered up and saved and stored away for later. And when they came to Jesus wanting more of this bread, wanting to be assured that this bread would remain for them, he told them instead that there's a different kind of bread in the world. Yes, there was that story in their history and their ancestry of God providing manna from heaven, bread to eat while they were waiting in the wilderness, not sure of what would happen, not sure if it would be better to go back to Egypt, where at least they knew what the oppression looked like, where at least they knew where their next meal would come from, even if they didn't have their full humanity. But they had that bread to eat in the wilderness, and it was enough to keep them going. And it became a symbol for the Hebrew people throughout all ages to point back and say, God has provided for us. God's given us what we needed to make it through the wilderness and then brought us into a new land. And those who took that as a serious responsibility would say that they had been given that blessing so that they could become a blessing to all the world. And when Jesus came into that community, that's exactly what he said and exactly what he did. He made it a place of blessing that became visible throughout all the world and throughout all ages. And where Jesus is this new kind of bread given from God in heaven, it's a bread that invites us to come and be a part of the family gathered at the table. That wonderful symbol that is so much a part of the Thanksgiving traditions here in our country and in our day and age. Of just gathering with those who we love and those who love us, and those who need a meal, and those we know who need a place to be, and celebrating everything we have to be grateful for. I'm fond of saying that we're given our blessings so that we can become blessing to other people through them, that blessings are meant to be shared. It's just something in their nature, whether that's love or wealth or time or caring or listening ear. It gives us something, but we're also able to give the world something by it. And sometimes it's sort of nice to take an opportunity in a holiday like this one, in a time in the year like this one, to just sort of take stock of the blessings that we've had, those good things that have been in our lives and sort of once created can never be taken away. Whether those are the humble beginnings or the stories of how they've built up over the years, or whether it's right where we are today, maybe holding that $10 all over again, looking at a new beginning and wondering what blessings are going to come. But it's worth taping it on your wall. It's worth taking stock and remembering that wherever we are, God is increasing us. Wherever we are, God is not going to stop putting blessings into our lives. And God is not going to stop using us to be blessings to one another and to the people around us, to our communities and those in need. That God is alive in the world, and that the Spirit of God is within us and moving us and challenging us and provoking us to do strange and marvelous things. There are millions of stories like my grandmother's, of people who start with nothing in a strange land and learn how to be alive there, learn how to be a part of a family there, learn how to raise children there, learn how to love their communities and offer their gifts in acts of service. And there's a point somewhere in your life where that's your story too, where God's offering you blessings and has offered you blessings that you can take stock of in this holiday and take note of to begin using them all over again for this coming year. So I pray that as you sit at the meals that will be a part of this coming weekend, and as you, you know, take in the football games and the turkey and the pumpkin pie and all those wonderful things that have become signs by which we mark this thankful time each year, that you also keep in mind the question of what What is it that God is thankful for in your life this year? What is it that God is thankful that you're doing, or who is it that you're reaching out towards that God's thankful that you are? And what is God's hope for your next year? What will God hope to be thankful for from your life in this coming time? It's an ongoing and lively and amazing process that God builds up these stories of our lives, and that's quite a blessing for us to be thankful for. In Jesus' name, amen.